Let's continue in our talks from Numbers by reading Numbers chapter 20. Now, in this chapter, we have four events. Number one, the death of Miriam. Number two, the failure of Moses and Aaron. Number three, the death of Aaron. And number four, the refusal of Edom to let Israel pass through their land. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 13. Numbers chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month. And the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain, or figs, or vines, or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Numbers chapter 20, with some background notes. Numbers chapter 20 is a sad chapter. Here we have the deaths of Miriam and Aaron, the failure of Moses, and the refusal of Edom to help the children of Israel. Between chapters 19 and 20 of Numbers, we have a gap of about 38 years. All of this time, the children of Israel had been wandering in the wilderness because of their sins, primarily the sin of unbelief concerning the land that God had promised them. Notice from verse 1 that the children of Israel are at Kadesh. This is where they were when the spies were sent out into the land of Canaan 38 years before. They didn't get very far in their wanderings, did they? From Kadesh to Kadesh. And we won't get very far in our Christian walk if we commit these same sins of the wilderness that Israel committed, complaining, criticizing, compromising, and showing contempt. So the events of Numbers chapter 20 are 38 years after the spies went out and 40 years after the Exodus. The older generation, which would not enter the land of Canaan because of their unbelief, has largely died off by this time. A new generation is about to enter the land. In verse 1, we have the death of Miriam. Miriam, remember, was the older sister of Moses and Aaron. She was gifted as a prophetess and singer, as we know from Exodus chapter 15. Miriam, remember, also criticized Moses back in Numbers chapter 12 and had to be disciplined with leprosy. But her sin is not mentioned here, only her death. She was buried in the wilderness. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Numbers chapter 20. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, the discipline of Moses was for his irreverence. The discipline of Moses was for his irreverence. Verse 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Now let me ask you, do you think God's discipline of Moses was too harsh here? After all, Moses had been a faithful leader for 40 years, and these unthankful people were complaining again because of no water and wishing they were dead. Didn't Moses have a right to be uptight and lash out against these people? Answer, no. Moses represented God before the people. He failed to do what God asked him to do. God told Moses to just speak to the rock, and there would be water. Instead, Moses said to the people, verse 10, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" And then he struck the rock twice in anger. In his grace, God let the water flow from the rock, but Moses was disciplined for his irreverence. Moses would not have the privilege of leading the people into the land and would not enter the land himself. Moses' irreverence here is significant because in his disobedience, he broke the type or spiritual picture that God intended with the rock and the life-giving water. We know from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, that the rock here, as well as the rock back in Exodus chapter 17, combine as a type or spiritual picture of Christ, the true rock. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. So what's the scripture saying here? The rock was a real rock, but it was spiritual in that it pictured Christ. In Exodus chapter 17, Moses was told to strike the rock, and water would flow as a result. So Moses took his rod, which had been used for judgment on Egypt, and struck the rock, and it produced life-giving water. Certainly, this is a type of Christ on the cross as our substitute. God's rod of judgment came down on Christ at Calvary because of our sins. But as a result, the life-giving water of the Holy Spirit has been given to believers. Now let me ask you, how many times did God's rod of judgment have to come down on Christ at Calvary for the penalty of our sin to be paid for? Answer, once. Hebrews 9:28, "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many." So when Moses, in anger, struck the rock here in Numbers chapter 20, he marred the type that God intended. Moses was only to speak to the rock, not strike the rock in anger. The work of Christ on the cross for sin is finished. The water of life is now freely offered to anyone who will believe. The discipline of Moses was for his irreverence. Doctrinal point number 2. The death of Aaron was for his rebellion. The death of Aaron was for his rebellion. Verses 14 through 29. "Now Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. Thus says your brother Israel, you know all the hardship that has befallen us, how our fathers went down to Egypt. And we dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians afflicted us and our fathers. When we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and brought us up out of Egypt. Now here we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your border. Please let us pass through your country. We will not pass through fields or vineyards, nor will we drink water from wells. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory." Then Edom said to him, "You shall not pass through my land, lest I come out against you with a sword." So the children of Israel said to him, "We will go by the highway, and if I or my livestock drink any of your water, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more." Then he said, "You shall not pass through." So Edom came out against them with many men and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory. So Israel turned away from him. Now the children of Israel, the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came to Mount Hor. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, "Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son and bring them up to Mount Hor. And strip Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eleazar his son, for Aaron shall be gathered to his people and die there." So Moses did just as the Lord commanded, and they went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. Now when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, all the house of Israel mourned for Aaron 30 days. Aaron was 123 years old when he died. We know that from Numbers chapter 33, verses 38 and 39. The exact location of Mount Hor is unknown, but as implied here, it was not too far from Kadesh and not too far from the border with Edom. God saw the sin of Moses and Aaron not only as irreverence, but also as rebellion. Verse 24, once again. Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. To disobey the Lord in any way is, in essence, rebellion against the Lord, even when it seems justified as here, where the people are complaining again about having no water. God sees it as rebellion, especially when leaders who are God's representatives disobey. Before Aaron died, he was stripped of his high priestly vestments, and he is replaced with Eleazar, his son. Both Moses and Aaron are removed from their leadership positions because of their failure. The death of Aaron was for his rebellion. Let's move now to practical application for Numbers chapter 20. Practical application. Let's flee the flesh. Let's flee the flesh. We know the Bible exhorts us to flee the flesh, that is, the strong desires or lusts of the sinful nature. We are not to fight the flesh, but flee the flesh. 2 Timothy 2:22. Now, where do we see that lesson in application here in Numbers chapter 20? We see it in the spiritual picture of Israel bypassing Edom. The nation of Edom was descended from Esau, a man after the flesh. Certainly Esau and the nation that descended from him emerges in Scripture as a spiritual picture of the flesh in its lusts and activities. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 warns us not to be an immoral person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. When Israel requested to go through Edom peacefully, they were refused. Now, Israel certainly could have defeated Edom in battle, but God's plans for Israel were to bypass Edom, not fight Edom. It's all part of the spiritual picture of the Christian walk, as 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 tells us. Now, all these things happened unto them, that is, unto the children of Israel, as examples or types or spiritual pictures for us. So don't try to fight the flesh in your own strength. You will fail. Don't fight, but flee. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Let's flee the flesh.